The Michigan Women's Hall of Fame recently announced its latest list of inductees. Among them are six contemporary women and three women from Michigan's past. We're taking a closer look at one of those women from our past, Elizabeth Eaglesfield. She broke ground as one of the first female lawyers in Michigan history, but she did not stop there. Joining us is Jo Ellen Clary of the Greater Grand Rapids Women's History Council. They nominated Elizabeth Eaglesfield. Jo Ellen, tell us what it was about this woman that made you choose to nominate her.
For one thing, she was not just the first woman lawyer in Grand Rapids, one of the first in Michigan. She was one of the first in the entire United States. It was not easy for women in the 19th century to go to law school. Not only did Elizabeth Eaglesfield go to law school 3 years before she graduated from the University of Michigan Law School, she talked her father and a judge in Indiana to set their laws aside to make her the first woman admitted to the bar in Indiana. Then she actually practiced, which was a little bit unusual. It was very, very difficult, but she actually was in courtrooms when she could be, despite the fact that most of her clients would have thought she was a liability. She was a force to be reckoned with.
Do we know from any letters or writings, Jo Ellen, why it was Elizabeth was drawn to the law?
She, I believe, was probably drawn to the law in part because she was part of what we call first-wave feminism today. She was born in 1853, a mere 5 years after the first Women's Rights Convention in Seneca Falls, New York, that very famous gathering. And she was also the youngest of seven daughters of a lumber baron in Indiana, so the family had some means. I'm just guessing when I say that she might have been a slightly indulged youngest daughter. She clearly had ambitions, and she was given an education. She was sent on to Ann Arbor, basically to a prep school, to prepare for an undergraduate degree, which she received in 1876. And she was so proud of these degrees, Cynthia, that she actually had carved into her tombstone in Benton Harbor, 1876, a lit degree from UM, and 1878, a law degree from UM.
She's a cool woman is what she is, isn't she? And she was very involved politically, especially in trying to win the vote for women.
She was involved. That was not her main work. She was supportive. You'll find her in committee listings in the very active Grand Rapids women's suffrage movement. She was not a leader because she was working.
She was busy.
She was very, very busy. In fact, I have found evidence of her listed in a mid-1890s committee for a big suffrage meeting coming to Grand Rapids, and then she kind of disappears. And she was trying to get as much law work as she could. She was actually a single mother while she was doing all of this. So she, when the son came of age, took to the lakes and became a lake lawyer. The son was 20 in 1900 and wanted to go on to the lakes, so they did.
Did I read, am I right, she actually was a certified sea captain?
She has captain's papers. That's the language I'm willing to use.
Okay, fair enough.
I have not seen that she was the first woman to have them, though she very well may have been. She would not have been the primary captain in their business. She and her son, between the early 1900s and 1935, in the midst of the Depression, owned or had built four or five fruit boats, which they ran across the lake from Benton Harbor eventually, which was a major fruit market, into Wisconsin and Illinois, including Chicago. While I dare say she did captain occasionally, her son would have been primarily running that side of the business.
Still, that's quite a difference from standing before a judge in a courtroom. And then something else we've certainly seen a lot of during the recent recession is flipping houses. You buy that low-priced house, you fix it up, you sell it for a profit. This is a forward-thinking lady, right? She was doing a lot of that.
She did what she could and what she had to. We'll find her in legal records both suing and being sued. As a woman lawyer, she was often appointed a caretaker or guardian of recently widowed women who couldn't represent themselves or their children. And sometimes there was real estate involved that she might have gotten involved in managing. She also then stepped into buying what would probably today be at bank sales, but she and the county sheriff were at one point sued for their management of for probably flipping a house that would have been sold at a sheriff's sale.
Okay.
So she was making money however she could.
What do you like most about Elizabeth?
Oh, her energy. She was just a bulldog. She forged ahead. She opened all kinds of paths for women. Elizabeth Eaglesfield advertised in a Grand Rapids paper in 1878 when she was 25 years old. She then was gone for a few years, but she came back in 1886 and was here steadily for 30-some years. She was a great self-promoter. They say our strengths are related to our weaknesses, and I dare say in her case that probably was also true. She was called the Lady Lawyer from Grand Rapids, and she dared take on anybody.
Elizabeth Eaglesfield died in Benton Harbor in 1940, and she is now one of the newest inductees in the Michigan Women's Hall of Fame. Jo Ellen Clary of the Greater Grand Rapids Women's History Council, which nominated Elizabeth. It has been a lot of fun talking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cynthia.